Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Season 5, episode 12 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs, Redcon One, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Happy Easter. Today is Easter, so I hope everybody's enjoying their Easter holiday. All right, our guest today is Wayne Galash again. Wayne was with us last week. We had our dual interview with him and Peter McGough. Wayne was in town last week from Australia, and he was visiting Florida for a while, so I brought him into my studio at home, and we did a wrap-up of the NABBA Universe, and we talked about all the competitions in the NABBA Universe from 1976 all the way up until 1990, so we covered a lot. So today we're going to talk about all the NABBA Universe competitions from 1976 through 1981, that five-year period, and that period included such great bodybuilders as Serge Noubre and Tony Emmett and Bertil Fox. That's when Bertil Fox started coming on the scene. And Dave Johns, who was the 1977 Mr. America, Tony Pearson, I believe also John Brown, who we did an interview with a few weeks ago. So it's going to be a really great interview with Wayne, and it was great having Wayne right here in the studio, instead of talking to him around the world. All right, I want to mention also we are brought to you by Redcon One. Whether you're killing it in the gym or you're running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. They have a premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War. That is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. I see a lot of people in the gym drinking that Total War. And then after the workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. And this is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs. And the carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also has 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. And they also have now the new MRE bars in all different kinds of flavors. So check that out when you go to Redcon One and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And you can also enter the discount code LEGENDS because you're listening to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast and you'll get 15% discount off your order. We're also brought to you by Old School Labs. With so many supplements on the market, it can be hard to know which brand is the right one. As a three-time Natural Mr. Universe and Natural Mr. Olympia winner, quality of supplements and knowing what I'm taking is very important to me, which is why Old School Labs is giving you 12% off your purchase. Just go to oldschoollabs.com and use the code LEGEND12, LEGEND, L-E-G-E-N-D, at the checkout, and you will get 12% off your order. And be sure to try the new Brawn Protein, a new protein powder that Old School Labs is offering with protein sources coming from beef, eggs, and milk. So check that out. I take that all the time. All right. We had kind of an exciting week in the bodybuilding world. Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, the Governator and the greatest bodybuilder of all time, the king of bodybuilding, he went through open heart surgery. I guess he was getting that valve replaced that he had done, I believe, in 1997 when he was around 50 years old. He voluntarily went in and had a valve replaced, which was a genetic defect. I think that's what his mother actually passed away from because she never got her valve replaced. So he did that way back in 1997, and he had to, I guess it only lasts for so long, and they had to replace it. And when they replaced it, putting a catheter in and something went wrong and they had to do open heart surgery. But I guess Arnold is doing okay. He's in stable condition. And when he woke up from the surgery, he said, I'm back. Like, I'll be back. So I guess he's doing all right. But he's 70 years old, I believe, now. He'll be 71 this year. But we don't want to lose Arnold. Arnold is the king of bodybuilding. So everybody was sending out their prayers and their well wishes on Facebook and Instagram and all that over the weekend. So hopefully Arnold is doing good, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I also want to mention last week I ran into Rich Gaspari. Rich was in town for a supplement company called Southern Muscle. It's a store. They have three stores out here in the Florida area. One is in Tampa and one is in Brandon. And I forget where the other one is, but if you go to southernmuscle.com, you can check them out. And Rich was at they had a big party at the new Tampa store. So I got to talk to Rich and spend a little time with him. So that was cool. Rich is my age. He's going to be 55 also this year. So we got a chance to catch up. I gave him a copy of my new book, Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends, Volume 1, which he was really appreciative of. And Rich said he was going to try and help me out and get me some more interviews on the show. He's going to reach out to Barry DeMay, who I have talked to a few times, but he just said he's been too busy. So Rich is going to call him up personally and try and get him. He's also going to try and get Lee Labrada, who, again, I've tried to reach out to Lee, but Lee must be really busy because he hasn't gotten back to me either. So hopefully Rich will be able to use his influence and his friendship with these guys and help get me some interviews with some of these old school bodybuilders that I've been trying to get a hold of. My new book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, is finished, guys, and I'm just waiting for the cover to get done. And then once CreateSpace on Amazon.com, once they approve it, it'll be good to go. So I will definitely announce it. You can buy it on BodybuildingLegendsShow.com. We will have a link on there where you can buy the new book, or you can just contact me if you want to buy it directly from me and not Amazon. My email is naturalolympia@gmail.com, so you could always contact me anytime you want an autographed copy. It's coming out pretty good. It's a real big book, and it's got a lot of my personal stories of all the competitions I went in from 1991 to 1998, which is pretty cool. I don't think I've ever read a book like that before where someone detailed exactly what they did for each show, whether it worked or whether it didn't work. And then I've got tips on how to get ready for competitions as far as your diet goes, and also the tanning and the posing, and what to expect at the pre-judging, how to do your poses, what the judges are going to ask for, all that kind of stuff. So it's a total competition ready book. If you're ready to compete in a contest, whether you're a natural bodybuilder or not, it's directed towards natural bodybuilders, but you can do it either way, whether you're natural or not. And I think you can get a lot out of this book. So I will let you guys know when it's on Amazon, but it should be out probably next week, definitely this month, coming up in April. Happy April, by the way, everybody. We are now in a new month of 2018. And if you're listening to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, if you could do me a favor and leave a review of our show on iTunes, I would really, really appreciate that. Just stop the recording right now and go leave a review and then come back and listen to it, because that really helps us out. So we appreciate that. All right. I also want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They have very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So give them a call for more information and experience firsthand what sets them apart from the rest. You can check out their website at flalternativemeds.com, or you can call them directly at the office at 813-922-8939. That's 813-922-8939. And again, their website is flalternativemeds.com, and tell them that you're listening to the Bodybuilding Legend Show and that I sent you over there, and you'll get a free consultation. So you won't even have to pay for your consultation. And if you buy any products, you'll get 20% off any packages. All right. So that is it for our opening of the show. Here's our interview with Wayne Galash, which we did in our studio right here in Tampa, Florida. And we're going to talk about the NABBA Mr. Universe competition from 1976 through 1981. Enjoy. All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And my good friend Wayne Galash is visiting Florida this week. So I've got him in the studio with me so we can speak in person. So Wayne, welcome to Tampa.
Thank you, John. And it's quite a privilege and what an experience to be sitting here in your studio.
Yeah. A little underwhelming, right?
No, it's a very special experience. And I've been on the other side of the world when we spoke last time.
Right, right. When we talked by Skype.
Yeah.
So Wayne, tell us about your trip. You were in Columbus, Ohio, I think for 10 days, right, for the Arnold Classic. And then you've been out here for a couple of weeks.
Yes, that's correct. I wanted to be at the 30th anniversary of the Arnold Classic, and it was a very special and very exciting time. They had all the past winners there except for NASA, who sadly has passed away, and they had them lined up, and they started from the left-hand side with Rich Gaspari and up to the last two winners with William Bonac, of course, on the right-hand end. And then they chatted on the Sunday seminar, as many people have seen, with each of the winners. And unfortunately, Dennis Wolfe wasn't able to be there, so I think he was about the only one missing. And it was a terrific occasion.
You said you got a chance to speak to Arnold a couple of times, right? When you were out there?
Yes, in the pump room. I had a couple of words or a short conversation a couple of times with Arnold, and we chatted about the 1970 NABBA Universe and the 1971 Mr. Olympia, which he won in Paris, because those two events, as far as we know, I have the only film of these two contests.
And what did Arnold say? You talked to him a couple of times, right?
Yes, he was interested to first of all chat about them, and then secondly to say that he would be very keen to have a copy of that footage. And I assured him that I would make that happen. So we're just sorting that out right now.
Did he remember you, Wayne?
He remembered me because Bob Lorimer had pointed me out to him.
Okay.
And so it came from Bob saying, by the way, Wayne's here in the pump room. He's just over there. And then things just went from that point.
Okay, great. So then what did you do after you left Columbus?
I had a holiday with family friends in Tennessee. And so I had 10 days there. And I'm presently having a week in the Tampa area. With family friends and catching up with Peter McGough, Ian Harrison, and, of course, spending some time with you, John, and just enjoying myself.
Okay. Yeah, we got a chance to, me and you and Peter, we got a chance to talk the other day. So that interview has been on the Bodybuilding Podcast. So that was a great experience. I was glad, because you and Peter don't get a chance to see each other together, right?
I last saw Peter backstage at the Olympia a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And before that, I would see him off and on over many years. I can remember going back to about 1982 at the London Mr. Olympia, won
wow.
by Chris Dickerson.
Yeah.
So I can remember Peter being around the contest that I was at, and we didn't always have time to chat, but we knew each other and we communicated by email and in the earlier days, probably by fax. So we're all friends going back, and we were both at the 1970 NABBA Universe, but mm-hmm. as Peter said, I didn't know him back then, but he knew who I was. So we go back a long way.
Yeah, it was good to see him because I haven't seen him in a while either. And, of course, Peter's been battling cancer, which he's not afraid to talk about, so I'm not afraid to mention it. And he's been going through that for the last 5 years, and he had a tough time last year, I guess, because he had pneumonia for a while. But him and his wife, Ann, have been working together, battling through it. So I thought he looked good. He was in good spirits, and, he seemed, sometimes a little tired, but I thought he was doing good.
I thought he looked pretty good considering what he's been through. And I hope that we can update our little chat about our shared memories again in a year or so's time.
Yeah, he said he wants to do the next update in Australia, so we'll have to go out there, Wayne.
And then I did an update on things of interest with Ian Harrison when I dropped in on him yesterday. I just came in out of the blue because I wanted it to be a nice surprise for him.
Yeah, he's out in Bradenton, which is where you're staying right now with your friends, right?
Yes, that's right. And I hadn't seen Ian since the 1993 IFBB English Grand Prix, where he placed sixth. And that was his first IFBB Pro Show, as I understand. And it was also my first official IFBB Pro Show as the videographer of the event. So it was a special occasion for both of us.
Yeah. Well, as we said, Wayne, you go way back. You were at the 1970 NABBA Universe. And we've already done a couple interviews for this season of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast where we were talking about the history of the sport, because I don't think anyone's ever really done that before, where they've talked about all the winners. We started from started in 1948 when John Grimmick beat Steve Rees, and then they officially started the NABBA Universe in 1950.
Correct.
And Steve Rees was the first winner, and he got the Sandow Trophy, and he beat Reg Park. And we went from 1950 all the way up until, I think, 1970 for part one, and then we went from 1970 to 1975 for part two. So we're going to take it from there now and on this interview. And I don't know how far we'll get. We won't go all the way up to the present day, but we'll try and get some of those classic competitions from the 70s and 80s. So let's start with 1976, and we're looking at the results right here in front of us. Shigeru Sugita, who was from Japan, who is a name probably unknown to a lot of new people today or younger people today. But Shigeru had a great physique, and I remember seeing his picture in the magazines. And he was an unknown guy to me when I saw his picture in Iron Man magazine. But he had a really classic physique, but also very thick and in really great shape. So he definitely deserved that victory.
Yes, I would liken his physique to a slightly smaller version of Flex Lewis.
Wow.
He had a thickness that was just outstanding, and it was so impressive that he was able to take the overall title from the short class. And that's not done terribly often. It's usually a medium or a big guy that's going to get it. But he took the whole event, and he beat his friend and fellow countryman from Japan, Kozo Sudo.
Yeah.
And Kozo Sudo had a physique that was in the same mold and style as a Frank Zane.
Mm-hmm.
Classic physique, fantastic midsection. And on that particular day, he had a little bit more class to him than Bertil Fox, who was second. And Bertil had the mass and the size. Now, Kozo Sudo had the lines. And then the tour class went to bed. Ben Herder from the Netherlands, and he was a big blonde bodybuilder.
Yeah, I remember him.
But I saw the overall post-down as being between Shigeru Sugita and Kozo Sudo, and Shigeru took it out. And I wasn't surprised at that result. I felt he was a very deserving winner.
Yeah, how unusual is that to have an international competition where bodybuilders are coming from all over the world, and you've got two guys from Japan who win the short and the medium class, and they're both outstanding bodybuilders. And Kazuo Suda, I remember him too. He had a physique, kind of reminded me even like of a Serge Nubre, where he had, you know, the big arms and the big pecs, but really small waist, and he looked amazing just standing there relaxed. The very aesthetic thighs, and I thought it could have went between him or Shigeru, but you were there. So Shigeru Sugita obviously was a much thicker bodybuilder, right?
Yes, it was probably the thickness and the muscle maturity he had. To be honest, I slightly preferred the look of Kozo Sudo because it was such a classic, clean, beautiful lined physique.
Yeah, I did too.
But it wasn't to be. But how often would you ever get two guys from a country like Japan battling it out for the overall title? And no disrespect to Ben Herder, but it's pretty rare because Japan wasn't a major player at the NABBA universe.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't really see too many bodybuilders from Japan, because I remember when I saw that, I think they were on the cover of Iron Man magazine, and I saw the both of them together, and I was like, wow. And, you know, it was just unusual to see bodybuilders from Japan, and they were both outstanding bodybuilders.
Yes, it was a unique year, and I remember when I had a photo shoot with the three bodybuilders from Japan, I had to get an interpreter because they spoke virtually no English, so I had to have a guy asking them to do different stuff and to stand where I wanted and so on. And there were people standing around, it was in a park, and people stood around and they watched the photo shoot and the film shoot, and it was an experience that was a little bit different.
And then I also want to mention that medium class that Kazuo Sudo won, because another picture I remember from Iron Man was the top three, who was Kazuo Sudo in first place, Bertil Fox in second, and Dale Adrian, who was the year previous Mr. America winner, the 1975 AAU Mr. America winner. And he had been second, I think, at 75. So then he came back in 76, and he dropped down to third because he ran into Bertil Fox and Kazuo Sudo. So that was a hell of a top three in that class.
Yes, I thought too, when I saw Dale Adrian come out, and he was something of a favorite with a lot of people, I thought he had a real battle on his hands, and he did with Fox and Sudo. And I hadn't mentioned the other Japanese guy, and he was still pretty good, Masashi Enomoto. And so he was the third one in the cover photo I did for Iron Man with the three Japanese on the cover, and he placed fourth.
Wow. So how old was Bertil Fox in that show? Because I remember he was very young, but at that time, Bertil Fox was so thick. You know, everybody, I think, was impressed when you saw, you know, pictures of Bertil Fox.
My guess would be early 20s at
yeah.
that time.
Yeah, because I remember he was good as a 18 or 19-year-old, right?
Junior champion,
right. Okay, and then in the pro division that year, Serge Nubre was the winner, and he beat out Tony Emmett, and then Chris Dickerson, a future Mr. Olympia winner, was third place. So that was a hell of a lineup, too, and Serge looked outstanding that year.
Yes, those top three you said, that was from the overall pose down.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Emmett won the short pro division, beating Chris Dickerson, with Roy Javel third. Petsus was fourth. And then, of course, in the tall class, I thought that Serge Nubre was a very clear winner over Serge Larousse, and they were both from France. So when it came down to the overall, nobody was surprised that Serge Nubret took it out.
Now, to put this in perspective, this was 1 year after Serge competed in the 1975 Mr. Olympia, which was his last IFBB Mr. Olympia appearance. And, of course, that contest is famous because it was in the movie Pumping Iron. So if you've seen the movie Pumping Iron, this is 1 year later. And Serge Nubret, who was second to Arnold, and he beat Ferrigno in that show, he wins the NABBA Universe. And I thought he looked even better here than he did at the Olympia the year before.
Yes, I thought the same thing, although I wasn't at the Olympia. I'm thinking about photographs as well. I thought he was just looking outstanding in 76. I think he held that look pretty well for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 76 was pretty close to as good as he ever looked.
And how unusual was it for Tony Emmett to beat Chris Dickerson? I mean, Tony's been around a long time, and he was competing in the NABBA Universe, I think, in the 60s. But he really came into his own in 1976 because for him to beat an outstanding bodybuilder like Dickerson, that had to be a shock for him, I think.
I think Tony Emmett won it that particular year over Chris for two reasons. I think his midsection and I think probably his arms and some of his upper body poses were the deciding factor. And I would say nobody beat Chris Dickerson on legs. So I would say in a close decision, Tony's upper body, I feel, pulled him through into the number one position.
And Tony was one of those bodybuilders I remember from reading Muscle Builder. He would always go to Gold's Gym in the summer, you know, from England, and he would travel to Gold's Gym, and he would spend 3 months out there because you would always see pictures of him with Arnold and Robbie Robinson and all those guys training. So I think he was doing that for a couple of years, and it obviously paid off because he was in an outstanding condition in 76.
Yes, Tony was a champion for a long time in England, and I would love him to do one of these interviews with you, John. So let's hope that you can get him to do that one day because it would be good to hear his memories of those wonderful years.
Yeah, I was hoping to interview him. We've been talking to him for a week. Well, actually not talking to him, but I was talking to Cy Sweeney, and Cy was trying to set that up for me, but no luck so far. I think Tony's probably like in his late 70s now. But yeah, he would have had some great stories, not only from his years competing, but also his years of training at Gold's Gym. I'd like to hear some of those stories, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next year then, Wayne, 77, which was another big year in bodybuilding. So Bertel Fox moves up from second place to Kazusudo. He comes back, and now he wins the overall amateur division of the NABBA Universe. Terry Phillips wins the short class over Salvador Ruiz, and Bertel Fox wins the medium class over Ahmet Anulu from Turkey. Dave Johns from the United States, who won the Mr. America that year. And then Kazusudo drops all the way down to fourth. And then in the tall class, Jim Morris, who was a former Mr. America, former AAU Mr. America, I believe 1973, I believe. And he beats out Chen Wint and Bill Richardson. So we got a really outstanding lineup in the amateur division that year.
It was a tough year and a terrific year because if you look at the names that didn't get, say, top two, you've got Dave Johns in third.
Yeah.
Bill Richardson, another future champion, getting a third. And then down here, Salvador Ruiz, who's unfortunately no longer with us.
Oh, he passed away?
He passed away. And then you had Harold Dickinson, a beautifully symmetrical English physique, and he was getting a third. And Terry Phillips, he was always around the very top level in NABBA, mm-hmm. but he never quite got an overall NABBA Universe title. And then Bertel Fox and Anulu, that was a fantastic battle. And Fox just overpowered him, and Dave Johns was pretty good, of course, getting a third. And poor old Sudo had to settle for fourth.
So how did Kazusudo look at you?
He wasn't quite as sharp and as crisp, and unless he was presenting that sort of a look, mm-hmm. I think he lost a lot of his impact, and that's probably why he slipped down a bit. The others were so outstanding, they were up another level, and he was probably not quite as good as in 76.
Now, Dave Johns, I saw pictures and videos of him when he won that 77 Mr. America, because that was a famous Mr. America that was held in Santa Monica, and that was when they had the parade on with the elephants and stuff.
Which I filmed.
You film that?
I film
that,
yeah.
No kidding.
Yes, and I filmed that Mr. America too with
Mae
West presenting him with his trophy.
Yeah, so that video I saw, that was what you filmed?
Yes.
Okay. So how close was it between Dave Johns, Ahmet Anulu, and Bertel Fox? Because those are three outstanding guys.
Well, I don't have the judging sheets, unfortunately. I'm going to say that I feel it was a clear-cut victory for Bertel Fox. I can't be sure of my facts, and I'm not sure if the sheets still exist. But my feeling was it was a pretty clear-cut victory, and then it's not surprising that he then had a clear-cut victory, in my opinion, for the overall title. Jim Morris was a little bit perhaps past his peak.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Phillips was very good, but he wasn't good enough to beat a person of the caliber of Bertel Fox.
Hmm. Was Terry Phillips older? I always remember him as being older, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jim Morris, I remember seeing pictures of him at that time too, because that was when he had the mustache, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that Jim Morris, maybe if he'd gone over to this contest a few years earlier, he could possibly have won the overall. But in this particular year, there was no doubt that Bertel Fox had the thickness, the size, and the definition to take out the title quite convincingly.
Yeah, because this was 4 years after he won the he won his Mr. America contest. All right, so now in the pro division, this was another huge surprise because Tony Emmett beats out Serge Nubre. So that had to be a big shock to Serge Nubre. I'm sure he thought he was a better bodybuilder than Tony Emmett.
Yes, and on the day, sorry I have to say this, Tony, but I thought Serge Nubre was the winner that day. But the judges, it must have been a very tight decision for various reasons, and no doubt with good judging criteria, they gave the award to Tony Emmett with Serge Nubre second, but I was surprised when that result came out.
Hmm. Now, I saw pictures of that. Now, Tony did look outstanding. That was probably the best I've ever seen Tony, right?
Yes, well, Tony's upper body was very tight, very hard. Yeah. And I would say that he probably won it by having a better lower body, better legs, better separation than Serge did. Serge was really famous for his upper body.
Mm-hmm.
His legs were never quite the equal. And I would say that the package from Tony Emmett, the overall package, was enough to give him the victory.
Okay. Yeah, I think out of Tony's whole career, as long as he's been around, that had to be his highlight. I think that would have had to be the number one highlight, winning the NABBA Mr. Universe over Serge Nubre.
And there's one other person in this class I want to give a mention to, and that's Don Ross.
Yeah.
From USA.
The Ripper.
Yes. He was an old friend of mine, and I communicate today with Rita Ross, his wife.
Yeah.
Don passed away quite some time ago. And Rita's still very interested in the sport. As I said, she regularly chats with me. And I just want to mention Don. He was a very good bodybuilder, not quite an absolute champion in this type of competition, but he was a very top bodybuilder, dedicated, loved the sport, and we miss him, and we're sorry that he's passed away early.
Yeah, he really loved the sport because I saw him do some commentary for ESPN, I think, and you could tell this guy was so crazy about it. He loved the sport. He was a huge fan.
He was passionate, one of the most passionate guys that I knew. And, of course, bringing up that field was John Citroni, probably the greatest NABBA competitor for the most contests and titles of any NABBA competitor of all time.
Yeah, and then you got Warren Frederick in fourth. He was another great competitor. He used to compete at a lot of Dan Laurie shows.
That's right.
And Steve Davis from California, who was like a – and it's kind of a smaller version of Frank Zane in a way.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, he got third place, which was a good placing for that lineup.
Yeah, it was an interesting lineup that particular year, and a lot of contrast between John Citroni, Steve Davis, Tony, and Serge Nubre. It was an absolute mixture of types of physique.
Yeah, and it's great to have your input here, Wayne, because, as I said, you were actually at the show filming the show, and then many years you were also photographing the show. So it's fantastic that you're here giving the commentary on it, because now, you know, we get the firsthand version of it. I just seen the pictures of these things, but you were actually there at the show. Now we go to 78, and Dave Johns, who was in it the year before and got third place, he goes up and wins the amateur division. And Bill Richardson steps up and wins the tall class. And Salvador Ruiz, who was second the year before, he wins the short class. But one thing I want to mention is the return of Casey Viator to the competition stage, which was really exciting. And Dave Johns beat him out in the medium class. But Casey's coming back after winning the 1971 Mr. America, the youngest Mr. America ever, who was a real legend in the sport. And I think this was Casey's big comeback in 1978.
Yes, in 1978, I went to Florida and I had a photo and film shoot with Casey Viator, and he was in outstanding shape. It was around about June or July, and here he is in the Never Universe. I think it was September, looking quite incredible. But then he came up against Dave Johns, who was just had a different shape to Casey. Casey was more of the Bertil Fox look, and Dave Johns had a slightly wider shouldered V-shaped look, and that was the look the judges went for. And I thought it could have gone either way between Casey and Dave, but it was Dave Johns, a good winner in the medium class.
So what was the audience reaction to Casey? Because that had to be really exciting. This guy really created a lot of shockwaves when he came out in 1971 and he won the Mr. America at only 19 years old, which has never been duplicated before. He's the youngest Mr. America ever. So he really created a lot of excitement in bodybuilding in 1971. I remember even Arnold was talking about him back then. And then he just kind of dropped out of the sport. And I think he went into construction or something, and he had an industrial accident. And then he came back. He, of course, he was a product of Arthur Jones, and Arthur Jones was really promoting him a lot. So for him to come back in 1978, that had to be probably the most exciting thing for that whole NABBA Universe contest that year, right?
Yes, I seem to remember that when he was announced as second, there was a little bit of dissent and murmuring in the audience, because there were a lot of Casey Viator fans, and they wanted him to win and thought he would win. And I think I was mildly surprised. I had a feeling he was going to win it. Hmm. And Dave Johns was also very impressive. So I saw that one as a toss-up between the two of them. And I'm pretty sure that Arthur Jones was there with Casey Viator.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
At that event. And I know Arthur was very upset at the judging, because naturally he wanted his boy to win and thought his boy had won, but the judges didn't see it that way. But it had to be incredibly close. And it was just one of those mildly controversial decisions, I think, because Casey had so much history behind him. And Dave Johns was also highly credentialed.
Yeah.
But I think Casey really had the biggest fan following, and the audience thought perhaps Casey was going to win, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, Dave looked better to me in the pictures than he did the year before. He looked like he definitely made improvements from when he won that America.
Yes, Dave was very impressive. As I said, I liked his overall shape, particularly his front-on poses. Casey Viator was impressive in his certain Casey Viator poses. Mm-hmm. So that's how it sort of turned out. And then I guess we should talk about the short class. Salvador Ruiz was just incredible. Ripped, fantastic abs.
Yeah, fantastic abs. I remember the abs.
And I've been putting some of my photographs of Ruiz up on Facebook recently, because I had a photo shoot with him and Annabelle Lopez the next day, and Serge Newbright. The Serge Newbright. 78.
Okay. Getting back to Casey for a second, how did Casey look at the contest, Wayne, compared to how you saw him when you were in Florida?
Well, I don't think he looked better. He was fantastic in Florida.
Okay.
He was on his home ground, so to speak. I'm wondering if he was carrying maybe just a little bit of fluid, perhaps wasn't quite as sharp and crisp as he needed to be in order to wipe out Dave Johns on the day. So that was my feeling, that maybe he hadn't arrived in England soon enough before the contest to really get hard. And I always felt that might have been a small mistake he'd made by perhaps getting there too close to the actual day of the prejudging.
It's funny because Arthur Jones, he obviously never had no luck with NABBA, because in 71, which was coincidentally the same year that Casey won the America, he brought Sergio over to the NABBA Universe, and he also got second. And I remember you saying in one of our interviews that you thought the problem was Sergio also didn't get there ahead of time, and he was also holding water, and that's probably why he lost to Bill Pearl that year.
100% correct. Agree with that. They were my thoughts each time. Because the smartest bodybuilders from overseas, from England, got there early enough that they were able to get rid of the fluid, tighten up, and look their best on the day. And I can remember there was an Australian bodybuilder called Gary Lua, and he used to go really early to the universe, really settled into the English scene. And then when it came to the actual day of the contest, it was almost like he was just going to a contest at home. And he was really always at his best and sharp and spot on.
All right, so now we go to the pro division that year. And this is another big upset because Serge Noubre, who won in 76 and obviously was an icon in the sport, he loses to Tony Emmett in 77. He loses to Tony Emmett in 77. Now he comes back in 78 and he loses to Bertel Fox, who won the year before in the amateur division. And Serge was really upset about this, right?
Yeah, Serge was really pissed. In fact, he was upset after the prejudging because during the prejudging, the audience continued to shout and to barricade to support Bertel Fox. And they were chanting, Bertel, 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 beef, beef. And this went on all the way through the prejudging. And Serge Noubre complained to the promoter, Oscar Heidenstam, that it was unfair and that the audience was influencing the judges.
And Serge, I think, thought was one of his complaints was that Bertel was from England and the contest is in England. So he thought Bertel had an unfair advantage.
Yes, that was also one of his complaints at the end of the prejudging. And he actually, I remember him very, very upset. I think he must have had a feeling that he wasn't going to win. So he was upset with the judging. He thought that the audience hadn't been controlled and that they were too big an influence on the whole procedure. And I can't agree with that because good judges don't take any notice of the audience or comments. They're there to judge what they see in front of them. And I believe that's what they did.
So do you think Bertel deserved to beat him just because of the leg development again?
Yes, entirely for that reason. Bertel was even more massive, still ripped, thick, and he overpowered Serge Noubre, both mentally, I suppose, with a bit of help from the audience, but he overpowered him in every aspect. And although Serge had this beautiful upper body, the total package from Bertel Fox was like a bulldozer, just moving whatever was in front of him, and he just went through to victory. I expected that would be the result, and that's what turned out. But, John, you've got some more interesting information on this story.
Yeah, when I did an interview with Roy Duvall recently a few weeks ago, Roy was in third place in the pro division, and I mentioned that Serge got second and Bertel was first. And Roy said that Serge did not show up at the night show, and so he got the trophy for second place. And but in the results, it says Serge Noubre is in second place. And he said he did that. Serge Noubre did that because he felt he was going to lose to Bertel Fox. So he said, if I don't show up, I can't lose. So he didn't go to the night show after the prejudging the day before. And Roy said he's got the trophy for second place. But if we look at the official results, Serge Noubre is still in second place. And you and I, Wayne, were just looking at the internet before we started this broadcast, and we couldn't find any pictures. We did find one picture of the lineup, and Serge Noubre isn't in there. You know, this was the winner lineup at the end where everybody's got the trophies on the podium. And we saw, of course, Bertel Fox and Dave Johns were in the middle where they should have been because they both were the winners of their class of the divisions. But we didn't see Serge Noubre anywhere there, so maybe Roy is right.
Yes, I think that Roy should know the best as to what actually happened. And if you ask me, do I remember this happening? I can't say I remember Serge Noubre being missing. And also my film of this particular event is missing. So I can't refer back to my film. So the next best thing we will do is to find some magazines that report the Navi Universe of 78. And the whole story must surely be in there. And we've asked Cy Sweeney to do a bit of quick research on this so that we can be absolutely sure. But from what Roy tells us, I'm going to have to go with his story.
Yeah. And I just want to mention again, for people that weren't around back then, I mean, Bertel Fox was really something to see. I remember looking I was a teenager at this time, and I was looking at the magazines. And, man, he was just so thick. His pecs, his arms were so big and so thick because we're talking 1978. This is a long time ago. And most guys just weren't that big back then. And Bertil Fox was just an amazing physique, especially considering his age. Like we said, he was probably in his early 20s. And like you said, he just steamrolled over, bulldozed over Serge Dupre. But the guy had such thickness and density. We really couldn't wait to see him go back into, or go to the Olympia, you know, after winning these NABBA Universe titles.
I've got a good suggestion. For people that never saw Bertil Fox, imagine a black Dorian Yates. Now, everybody knows what his physique was like. Well, Bertil was like a version of Dorian back then in 1978, and he just overpowered everybody, much the same way that Dorian did in the Olympias, and in particularly his earlier Olympias.
Yeah, but kind of a different physique, right? Because Bertil had those huge pecs. I remember his most muscular poses. He would do that one most muscular where he would bring the back of his hands together and he would squeeze his pecs, and his biceps looked like they were 30 inches. It was amazing.
Yes, it was more the thickness and the type of physique.
Yeah.
Dorian had other characteristics, but there were some similarities between the two of them, particularly to give a word picture to people that never saw Bertil Fox at his peak.
Yeah. All right, so now we go to the next year, which is 1979, and the overall winner in the amateur division was a guy who was really a legend in the sport of bodybuilding because he competed for so many years, Ahmet Anulu, who I remember him competing back in the IFBB Mr. Universe when Lou Ferrigno won it. And then he went over to the NABBA Universe in the late 70s. And after that, I think he went over to the IFBB, and he competed. God, it's got to be like 10 world championships in the IFBB. He just would never turn pro. He'd always stay amateur, which a lot of those foreign countries, they do. So Ahmet Anulu, this was his year in 1979 to win the Mr. Universe in the NABBA division. So he beats out Tony Pearson, who was the 1978 AAU Mr. America. And Ahmet won the medium class. And then Bill Richardson again wins the tall class. And the short class goes to Steve Shabani from Palestine, who beat out Terry Phillips from the United Kingdom.
Well, to talk about the last part, poor old Terry Phillips. He was always so close, or he was a class winner, and he never quite got the big prize. Anulu, I remember him looking fantastic at an IFBB Mr. Universe in Paris in 1971. And here he is now, he's winning the NABBA medium class. And of course, then he goes on and he wins the overall. And Bill Richardson was just a great all-round physique, but he perhaps didn't have any particular outstanding point at this moment for him to be able to be the overall winner.
Now, Wayne, it was real close, wasn't it, between Ahmet Anulu and Tony Pearson? Because I remember seeing a lot of pictures of those two posing down. And Tony was in really great shape that year, I think much better than he was the year before when he won the America.
Yes, that's correct. It was almost as if Ahmet, he had been around the top level for so long. Tony Pearson was also a very good physique, outstanding physique. But I feel that in a tight decision, Ahmet Anulu's past reputation of being a class winner or a champion, I think that was enough that pulled him through with the judges in a tight decision, and Tony had to settle for second.
What was it about Ahmet Anulu's physique that was really good? Was it his symmetry? Was it his thickness? Was it his conditioning? What was it?
I think it was conditioning and separation. He was a beautifully defined physique. He looked like he was carved out of granite. I know that's such an old cliche, but he used to be rather on the pale side sometimes with his tan, if I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did look he was carved out of stone, looked like. And he was very, very impressive physique with no weaknesses and just a beautiful overall look, clean cut look. He looked like a champion.
Yeah, that's a great description because I agree with you. I think he did look like he was out of granite in you know, when you look at physiques, maybe it's more so today, maybe it has to do with the drugs or whatever, but if you look back then, there weren't a lot of physiques that had that kind of really hard, grainy look. But this is going way back to the late 1970s. Like Frank Zane would come in shredded. He would come in really ripped. But to have that hard, grainy look, some vascularity, that's a certain look that not a lot of bodybuilders had. And I do remember Ahmet Anulu did have that. So I think that's a good description.
Yes, I'd agree with that. That's actually the perfect description of him. And there's not a lot of film available to see what Anulu looked like, which is a pity because he was a wonderful physique. And he'd still be a champion if he was competing today with the style and the look that he had.
Yeah, I remember him from one of the ESPN broadcasts from, now this is 1985, when he was up against Phil Williams from the United States. And that was at the IFBB Universe in the late heavyweight class. And I think he got fourth that year. But so this was, you know, I don't know how long he's been. But you, like you said, you saw him in 1971. So that's how long this guy's career was. And he competed in that IFBB Universe for many, many years after that 85 event.
Yes, he was a champion for a long time. And I would love to see a guy like him in a class such as the 212 at the Olympia in the present day, because that would be the sort of person that would really give Flex Lewis a run for his money.
Yeah, he was an outstanding physique. All right, now we'll talk about the pro division that year, and Bertel Fox wins his second NABBA Universe, I'm assuming quite easily, over Dave Johns, who was the amateur winner the year before. So Dave Johns goes pro, and he takes second to Bertel Fox, who, again, looked just amazing, outstanding, super, super thick. Salvador Ruiz with those incredible abs was in third, and Shigeru Shigeta, who was the overall amateur winner a couple of years before that, drops down to fourth. So how did that class go, Wayne?
Well, there's a comment here that's probably worth making in general. People that have been in the NABBA Universe once always want to be in it two and three times. And look at people like Sugita. So he's a past winner, and he puts himself on the line to come back and have a go at the pro class. And then the same with the Salvador Ruiz. He was a class winner in the year before in 78, so he comes back and he does the pro. And you could say that to a lot of the competitors. I mean, Dave Johns, he tried to make a double. He won the amateur overall 78. He tried to win the overall pro for 79, but he just failed with a second. So a lot of the champions put themselves on the line having won or competed earlier, and they'll come back and do it again and again because they just love being in it so much.
And how did you feel Bertel looked in 79 compared to 78?
Well, you sort of hinted at it. Bertel Fox, I think he took it fairly comfortably, to mm-hmm. be honest. Dave Johns looked like an amateur winner stepping up to the pro class, and Bertel Fox looked and acted like an old pro. He just went about it, went out on the stage. And he dominated again, I think partly with his reputation. And Dave Johns, although he was good, he just didn't seem to have the individual assets to shape Bertel's dominance. So Bertel just stood up there as a winner and went through, I think, quite clearly to take the overall. And as for Sugita, he just didn't look big enough to stand up against the top couple of guys.
Yeah. Do you think Bertel Fox's best years were in NABBA? Do you think he looked better when he was winning the NABBA Universe in the late 70s than he did when he went over to the IFBB?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
I've seen his pictures in the IFBB Universe, say, in the, I think it was the 83 Olympia
in Munich, yeah.
And mm-hmm. he looked impressive there. If anything, he was just starting to get a little bit on the heavy side for my preference. I think he looked his best and his sharpest and the best midsection back in his last years of NABBA. And I don't really think he topped that condition.
Yeah, I agree. I think he had that perfect combination of that incredible thickness that he had with really good conditioning. And, you know, I remember his abs being super sharp. So, yeah, he probably did leave his best years behind in London at the NABBA Universe.
Yeah, and sadly, we all know that Bertel Fox is right off the scene, and unfortunately for him, is never going to be seen again mm-hmm. because he's serving his life sentence. And I'm very sad to have to mention that because we like to celebrate the champions of the past, and he was a great champion.
Yeah, sometimes I'll post a picture of him on my Facebook page, and I always get a comment, you know, don't post a picture of a murderer, you know, because he did allegedly commit murder, killing his girlfriend and her mother. And he was supposed to get the death penalty, I believe. I think yeah. they were supposed to hang him yes. wherever he's at.
Yes.
But then they decided not to, and I think now he's just serving a lifetime in prison.
Well, I look at it this way. He's serving his dues for what he did. The photos you're talking about were taken before these things happened. So let's not get too carried away with the emotion of the whole thing. And give him his dues for what he achieved, and then remember, unfortunately, what he did after that, which was a terrible thing and so disappointing.
Yeah. All right, now we go to the 1980s. And one of the things you and I and Peter were discussing, Wayne, when we met this week at Peter's house, was when the tide started to turn and when the NABBA universe started to lose its prestige. Not its prestige, but most of the top competitors, I believe, were competing in the NABBA universe in the 1970s, especially the early 1970s. And then somewhere along the line, the IFBB started to gain more power. And more of the bodybuilders were competing now in the IFBB Olympia compared to the NABBA universe. And, of course, Weider established that rule where you could not compete in both like they used to do in the old days. So you could, if you competed in NABBA, then you couldn't compete in the IFBB. So because I think he established that rule, and like Peter said in our conversation, they did it. They did it at a time when it was when they had a position of power. And then the IFBB started to gain more prominence, and the MPC started, I'm sorry, the NABBA started to go down a little bit. Not that the NABBA was going down, but now as we're looking at the winners here of the 1980 Mr. Universe, and Bill Richardson was the overall winner. So Bill had won his class, the tall class at the amateur, a couple years in a row. Now he wins the overall. So I'm looking at the list of competitors, and we're not seeing guys like Bertel Fox or Serge Nubre or
Casey Viator.
Or Casey Viator, yeah, perfect. We're seeing a lot of good bodybuilders, but they're not a lot of big names. Graham Brogdon won the short class over again. Terry Phillips again, as you mentioned. The medium class went to Eddie Miller over Filippo Massaroni. And then in the tall class, Bill Richardson won over Bob Espirit. So although we got a lot of good bodybuilders here, it's not a lot of big names.
And looking at that list and looking at the top eight in each class, how many Americans do you see? Is Bob Espirit possibly from USA? But as I look at that list of three classes of top eight, I can't recognize an obvious USA competitor's name.
Yeah, so this is the point now in 1980 where the IFBB is really starting to gain more prominence, and they're starting to get a lot more of the top competitors.
So, yes. So basically, in these class winners that we see in front of us, they're nearly all from UK and from Europe. Like, for example, Filippo Massaroni was a great physique from Italy, and mm-hmm. he was big, wide, quite a massive physique. And Eddie Miller, I seem to recall, was from Ireland or Northern Ireland. Graham Brogdon, of course, was England. Terry Phillips was England, getting second. And then Bill Richardson, who lived in England, with Bill Tierney in fourth place in the tall class. And then Bill later went on to become the head of the IFBB, EFBB in England in later years. And Walter O'Malley, who got fifth in the tall class, has competed in probably hundreds of contests. He's been competing for many, many years. He's still in great shape. And Walter O'Malley is a legend. But as you look at that list, it's mostly British and Europeans.
Yeah, so maybe that's where the big difference was we're just not getting the American bodybuilders, not even the guy who won the America that year. So he didn't even come over.
Yes, and who was that guy?
Well, actually, now that we bring it up, I think that was the year, 1980, when Gary Leonard won, and it was held in Las Vegas. You're
correct. I was held in Santa Monica. I was at that 1980 Mr. America. Gary Leonard won. It was held in the Santa Monica City.
Oh, you're right.
And I filmed it, and they had couples, and it was a fantastic night. But I don't think Gary Leonard ever considered. He didn't talk to me about going to the NABBA universe, although I had a photo and film shoot with him. The subject never came up.
Yeah, that was the year where the AAU and the IFBB sort of combined forces. So that was why I think you're not going to have the AU Mr. America winner go over to NABBA. He was going because all the winners, I think, from 1980 in the AU Mr. America, they went over to the IFBB Mr. Universe. So Gary Leonard went over and Bronson Austin and all the guys who were the class winners that year.
That's correct. And they didn't go to England for the NABBA Universe.
Right.
And that was the year, of course, of Arnold's comeback.
Yep.
And the year of John Turilli emerging on the scene and winning the Best in Australia contest at that 1980 Mr. Olympia in the Sydney Opera House.
Now, when we look at the pro division of the NABBA Universe in 1980, Tony Pearson, who was second to Amit Anulu the year before, he goes right to the pros and he wins. And he beats out Dave Johns, Third place went to Ian Lawrence, who we talked about, I believe, in one of our other installments. He was a former NABBA Universe winner from Scotland.
Yes.
And then Bill Helmsworth was fourth, and Helmut Reidmeier was fifth.
Yes. Yeah, so where I said a moment ago that there were no Americans in the 1980 Universe, well, that was referring to the amateur. But if you look here, the top two are former competitors and long time, you could say, legends of the NABBA Universe, getting first and second with Tony Pearson this time, having the package to beat Dave Johns in what was, again, a very close contest with Ian Lawrence closely behind the top two. So I saw the top three as a fantastic battle.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone any way, but this time it was Tony Pearson's good condition, shape, huge width, great posing. We mustn't forget that Pearson was a wonderful poser. And he was good enough to be, I think, a very worthy winner of 1980 Pro NABBA Universe.
Yeah, this was a good move, I think, for Pearson, because he won the 78 Mr. America. And that was a controversial win for him because a lot of people felt he wasn't big or thick enough to beat Ron Tuffel, who was a short class winner. And Ron Tuffel took that loss very, very hard. But then when Pearson went for the pose down for the Mr. Universe that year, he got beat by Tom Platz, who surprisingly got beat by Ron Tuffel in the short class. So then Pearson never got that Mr. Universe win. And instead of going right over to the IFBB, he did kind of a smart thing, I think. He went over to NABBA instead, and he competed for a couple years in NABBA in 79 and 80. And then he established himself by winning the Mr. Universe in NABBA. And he also improved his physique a lot, because I think his physique looked much improved in 79 and 80 compared to how he looked in 1978.
That's true, and we shouldn't forget Tony Pearson now joins other USA legends who won the NABBA Pro Universe, from Pearl, Zane, Arnold, and so on. So he's now one of the USA winners of the NABBA Pro Universe.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's still in amazing condition today. I've tried many, many times to get Tony on this broadcast, but for some reason he doesn't want to be interviewed. But I think he's now 60 years old, and man, he looks incredible. He's still posing. He's still in guest posing exhibitions. He's in shape all the time. He's on YouTube. He's on Facebook a lot. And just an amazing example of what you can achieve if you keep this sport up, to be 60 years old and look as good as he does. He's really an amazing bodybuilder.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Tony's a legend. We take our hat off to him. He's been a champion for such a long time. He's still in wonderful shape, and the last time I saw him was in Las Vegas a few years ago, where I think he was doing personal training. He's probably still based there.
Yeah, I think he is. All right, so let's move on to 81, and in the amateur division, we've got a guy who I just interviewed about a month or so ago, the colorful and legendary John Brown, and John added his name to the Mr. Universe roster of winners by winning the 1981 NABBA Mr. Universe in the amateur division. He beat out Bob Espirit and Christian Goomba in the tall class. The medium class went to, as you just mentioned, Wayne, a really great bodybuilder from Italy, Filippo Massaroni, with Ian Dow from England in second. And then the short class, Terry Phillips, won first place, finally, and he beat out Francois Chung. But John Brown, I don't think, could be denied the overall, because he just had a magnificent physique, 6'2", 240 pounds, huge pecs, real small waist, good legs, and a great poser.
I'm going to come in on the great poser comment. He was an amazing poser. And as a matter of fact, Vince Taylor paid tribute to John Brown for being the person that inspired him to do the type of posing that Vince Taylor became famous for. And he said that John Brown was the master and the originator, in his opinion, of that style of posing. And John Brown could pose everybody else off the stage. Plus, he had a fantastic physique. So you could say he virtually won it twice. He won it with his physique and with his posing. And the audience would be mesmerized by his performances.
Yeah, when I did the interview with him, John was a coach, I would say, of Sean Ray, Vince Taylor, and Melvin Anthony, who were all outstanding posers. But John was really ahead of his time with his posing ability and the different things he tried. You know, he was doing like the pop lock stuff and using the different music. And a lot of people didn't know how to take it back then, but because he was the first guy to do it, and he was the originator of that. So he really broke ground, and he laid the foundation for guys like Vince Taylor and even Sean Ray. Remember what a fantastic poser he was. And they owe it all to John Brown, who really broke ground with that. We had a fascinating interview. If you haven't heard that, go back on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast and listen to that interview, because it was a great interview with John Brown, who describes how he did all that, how he broke ground and became an originator of the posing routine.
There's one more thing. With John Brown, he raised the sport of bodybuilding to a new level, because he made it a sport of entertainment.
Yeah.
Not just athletes, but entertainment for the public. And I think that was a huge move, because the greater the entertainment value, the more publicity the sport's going to receive.
Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about in an interview how he would do month-long tours, or several month-long tours in Europe, posing not only at bodybuilding shows, but also at discos, because of his unique ability to entertain the crowds.
And one final thing on John Brown. I recently had HBO contact me for all the footage I could give them on John Brown, because they were doing a documentary on him. So he's certainly getting remembered and well remembered today.
Yeah, they did it about his kids, his three kids who are football players, and how he coached them. But yeah, I did see some of your footage, Darwin, when I watched that on HBO Real Sports.
Right, so I guess we're ready for the next one.
Yeah, so the 81 universe in the pro division was won by the IFBB legendary bodybuilder Robbie Robinson. Now, this was surprising. Robbie took a break from the IFBB, went over to London, and in his first NABBA Universe contest, he wins the pro division over Dave Johns. Roy Duvall was third. Salvador Ruiz was fourth. Bill Richardson, who was the amateur winner the year before, he goes up to the pros. He takes fifth. And Bill Hemsworth was sixth. So poor Dave Johns, huh? Three years in a row, he gets second place. First to Bertel, and then to Tony Pearson, and now to Robbie Robinson.
Well, it was not that Dave Johns was bad or out of shape. It was just that Robbie Robinson was so outstanding.
Yeah.
And his arms were just extraordinary. He would do his double biceps poses, and people would just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And so he was a breath of fresh air. And he comes on the stage in 1981. People just could not believe it. There was this American idol from the IFBB in the NABBA Pro Universe. So it was an incredible occasion. And it really, people just honestly couldn't believe it was happening. And poor old Dave Johns had to settle for second place again.
How did Robbie look in that show, Wayne?
I thought he looked extraordinary. I'm not sure what year you would say Robbie was at his peak.
Right.
But he was so outstanding and, again, so dominant that it was clear to me that as soon as he walked out on the stage, he was going to be the winner.
Yeah, so this was right after his Mr. Olympia appearances, where he lost to Frank Zane 3 years in a row. I don't remember him competing in 80, but I remember in maybe 80, 81, he went over to NABBA. I remember he competed in Serge Dubray's organization, the WABA organization. So, yeah, it seems like for a couple of years he was tired of the IFBB or upset with them for some reason, and now he decided to try out different competitions in the European area, first the NABBA and then over to WABA, and then he eventually went back to the IFBB, I think, in around the mid-'80s.
Yeah, so while we're talking about these top two competitors, in 1978, I asked Dave Johns to do some film and photography for me on the morning after that 78 NABBA Universe where he won the amateurs, but he declined, saying that he was going to organise and own all the photography of himself, and that he would do that, and that he would do that when he got back to USA. But very sadly, it never happened. So that was one that got away. So that was the year when instead I worked with Serge Dubray and with Salvador Ruiz in a park in London, and had some fantastic photos along with Annabelle Lopez, who did the Spanish and English for me with Salvador.
Yeah, we were talking about that this week, Wayne, and you were mentioning how some of these guys, you offered to do photo shoots or video shoots with them and they turned you down. And it really is such a shame because, you know, the life of a bodybuilder is so short. And, you know, these guys were in spectacular condition, and I can understand they're upset about the placing and they're not thinking clearly, but, you know, when you look back at it in hindsight, but if they're still around today, they would just be like, oh, I wish I would have done that then when I was in great shape. You know, you said Boyer Coe, after he took fourth place at the 1980 Olympia, he was so upset he didn't want to shoot with you the next day. And Dave Johns, who's no longer with us, he didn't want to do it. And, you know, Serge Nabrai, you got to shoot with, but yeah, he's no longer with us anymore.
And Bob Harris was the same in 1983 in Singapore when he won the IFBB Amateur World Championships. I invited him to do something with me, but it didn't happen. So that was good luck for Chuck Williams and Charles Glass, who won the middleweight class at that event.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that happens. I understand the emotions involved and everything, but, you know, when you're in shape like that and it goes by so quick, you know, you just got to take advantage of it while you're there and while you're in that kind of shape.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And thank you to Wayne Galash for joining me for another interview. I want to thank our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode and this season of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Next week, we'll be back with another interview with Wayne, where we're going to talk about the NABBA Mr. Universe contest from 1982 all the way up until 1990. So we're going to cover a lot of great competitions and great competitors in that conversation as well. So I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy your spring, and we will see you next week for another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Take care.